Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Importance of truth. And I know we live in this day. We currently live in what's been called the age of information. And you can turn this down, Bob. I'm starting to echo a little bit. And I'm going to qualify that age of information here in a little bit. But since about the mid-20th century, we've witnessed a massive shift in our society from traditional industry to the establishment and the evolution of an industry that's based on information technology. Has anyone in this room, have you ordered anything online in the past year? Anybody order anything? Raise your hand if you've ordered something online. Okay. 10 years ago, have you ordered things online? a big chunk of us would probably say no. I know a lot of folks sometimes when they haven't quite made that jump to the digital age, sometimes they'll come in and they'll ask for some help figuring some things out. We have people who are streaming church this morning, and you are connecting with us virtually. And there's some really cool things about it. We're able to extend our reach. We've got church family sometimes who are traveling. We'll give a shout out to our dear friends and church family, the Barbers, down in while we're in negative 4 degrees temperatures, they're in nice balmy Florida. So we say God bless you guys, and we got some friends and family out in California. God bless you guys all around the states. We've even got some folks this morning joining in all the way from Russia and in Cuba, and we want to say God bless you. And it's neat that we live in this age of information. Now, when I went to college, which wasn't that long ago, I didn't have a computer. I had a word processor that kind of looked like a typewriter. And actually, I had a typing class in high school where we... A lot of people have never even heard of those and never even seen them. When I was in college, the rich kids had Apples or Commodores or Sinclair computers. But my first computer was a compact computer it looked like a sewing machine. This was my first computer that I got out of college, and it had a monochrome, it had a green display, and I had a program that did my checkbook, and I had a program that did, it was a word processing program, but it didn't have the red squiggly lines when you're typing to say, what are you trying to say? Because that's not what you're saying. It didn't offer any of that. You had to get closer. Although I will be honest, my red squiggly line, sometimes, you know, now I like it when it offers suggestions. Most times it says, man, you got to get closer than that. I have no idea what you're talking about. So that's a problem with me personally. I'm not a very good speller. That's just how it is. But the other program that I had was a Star Trek program. You had to have that with a monochrome thing. And it was very one step above Minesweeper. Has anybody played Minesweeper? Yeah, or Mindless Sweeper. It's just kind of like that. But now we fast forward today, and my kids that are in college, like they hardly have any actual physical books. All their books are electronic versions. They still cost over $100, and now they just rent them for 6 months. And I'm like, man, someone's got a good game on that. and I have to be honest, my library is primarily digital now. Okay, I literally have thousands of books, but they're digital copies of those. And so almost any information that you need or that you want is at your fingertips. You can just type in something, or you can ask your phone something, and they're going to give you the information. All that seems great, right? Here's the problem. In what we now know that the age of information here of late is becoming the age of misinformation or the age of disinformation. Now, there's a key difference between misinformation and disinformation. Misinformation is just being misinformed, just having the wrong information, not knowing. Disinformation is an intentional effort to spread mistruths or to get facts wrong. Here's the problem. Newsflash. Just because you find something online does not necessarily mean that it's true. Did you know that? That's a problem. It's a big, big problem. There is so much propaganda out there. There are individuals, there are agencies, both domestic and abroad, that deliberately spread mistruths, that spread lots of different things, that spread false information. Now, if there are search algorithms, if we hear were to ask Google or one of the major search engines and you were to request information, you would get a different answer than somebody in California or somebody on the East Coast or somebody in Texas. In other words, the results are manipulated according to your profile and according to where you are and the demographics of your area. And so these search algorithms now we're finding can be skewed and can be intentionally manipulated. And then add to that dilemma that we have become very lazy. You talk to teachers today, no one knows how to spell because my little red squiggly line. I didn't think I could become a worse speller. I have become a worse speller. My spelling has become much worse because of little red squiggly line, because of spell check. And now we have grammar check. And now we don't even use sentences. We have, TTFN, ta-ta for now. LOL. How many of you have done LOL? Yeah. Yeah. We just go on abbreviations. We have become pretty lazy, and there also is an amazing drop-off of critical thinking in our society. The ability to find something and to search it out. I'm going to remind you that in the New Testament, we are told that the saints of Berea were more noble than the saints of Thessalonica. Here's why. Because what was presented, they sought out the scriptures to make sure that what was being taught was so. They're literally told that this is an honorable thing. This is a virtuous thing. And most people, I'm going to tell you, they gravitate to what they want to hear. Okay, so in my house, I have several mirrors. I have one mirror that is kind of weird. It's just skewed in such a way that when I stand in front of it, it's not flattering. It's fattering, okay? As if it could be more. And then there's another mirror that's bent the other way that I look like I lost like 50 pounds. Guess which mirror I like to look at? You know what I'm talking about? Everyone is drawn to what they want to see and what they want to hear and what they want to think. And the same, I'm sorry, but the same is true for a lot of us in our concept of God. And we see it invading our theology and it's skewing and it's warping our concept of God to the point where people want to believe that there's no absolute truth. People want to believe that they can do whatever, they can live however. I was in a conversation with somebody and they were really wanting to press in about the grace of God. And it was troubling because I left the conversation. The final comment was like, I'm so glad to know that it's not important to have to study or to pray. And I'm like, whoa, no. Those things are incredibly important. It's we want a relationship. There have been huge heresies that have interjected, that have inserted themselves into the church. We're now to the point of we can't even have meaningful conversation in our society on differing views. Our legislators now have begun to take up the ethical discussion of the biasness and the manipulation of the very information that we see forth. And it's a difficult conversation. It's a very complicated conversation. Now, you may be saying right now, this doesn't sound very spiritual. This sounds very, very political. And what does this have to do with my faith? That's a very good question, because now we're going to get into this. Because I want today to talk about your personal relationship with the truth. The way, the truth, the life. I want to talk to you about how you handle truth. And I'm going to cut right to the point. Here's my big takeaway. Here's the reason for today's message. As followers of Jesus, we are called to be truthful. We are called to be full of truth. Okay, gang? It's very, very important. We are called to proclaim truth. And here's my concern. My concern is I fear that in the age of information, in the age of misinformation, in the age of disinformation, in the age of this new religion of politics that is so vulnerable to manipulation, Christ's followers must take care to protect the integrity of their witness. If not, we will become ineffective in sharing the gospel because our truthful speech will have been compromised. If I am not truthful in my conversation, talking about the weather, talking about whatever the topic, and then all of a sudden I'm supposed to flip a switch and say, well, now I'm talking about God, so now you can believe me, but it's not really important how I handle truth in other matters. Guys, we got a problem. Our witness has been compromised. So a couple points. Let's get into the Word of God today. So my first point, I got three quick points for you, is this. God desires truth. God desires truth. And look at Psalm 51. Now, Psalm 51, let's just kind of a little background. David had sinned with Bathsheba. You know the story. And then he had conspired to deceive everybody. So it looked like Bathsheba's husband, Uriah the Hittite, had impregnated his wife Bathsheba, not David. Now, what is that? Yeah, it's adultery. Absolutely, it is adultery. It's lust. But it's also lying. It's also manipulation. It's also an active attempt to deceive, an active attempt to create a false narrative, okay? And that's important. Psalm 51, when David finally comes to this place of brokenness, he says, look, behold, you delight in truth in the inward being. And you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. All right, gang? So this is very, very important. I mean, is this important? Does God desire truth? Remember in the book of Acts chapter 5, we have this incident of Ananias and Sapphira. And Ananias and Sapphira, we see that this family sold a piece of land. And then they came there was a move in the church, and the move in the church where people were selling possessions and giving them to the church. And they sold it for one amount, then they came forward and they said they sold it for a different amount. And Ananias literally died. He judged. Now, why did some people, you know, argue? The issue that he did was he lied to the Holy Spirit. It says, look, how has this happened that you tried to lie to the Holy Spirit? It wasn't that they didn't give the entire tent, it's that they lied. Is God serious about truth? Yes, God is very serious. God desires truth. In fact, Revelation 21:8. Now, this is a rough scripture, but this is awesome. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, do we like this list so far? Okay. As for the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all what? That's quite a list. Well, Pastor, I don't lie. I mean, I just little white lies. Little white lies are different. A lie is a lie. A lie is a lie. Okay? It says, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. God desires truth. The reason that God desires truth is because God has, He wants us to have relationship with Him. And when we lie, it separates us. I'm gonna kind of break that out in just a minute. So God is serious about truth. Would you agree with me that God is serious about truthfulness? And if God is serious about truth as Christ followers, we should not be so callous by the lack of truth in our culture. And I will give you that we live in a very dishonest culture. I get tired of it. I mean, we almost laugh about it. We make jokes about it, about politicians who make promises and then they get in office and then many times they break their promises. I always laugh at the old joke. You know what happens to liars? They get elected, right? And that's sad. And there's so much of this that happens all around us. It happens in our politics. It happens in so many different ways. And what's so sad now is this worldly concept that says it's okay to lie if it accomplishes your purposes. We see people, we see our leaders get up and say that lying is okay. What happens when it infects the church? Oh, well, it will never infect the church. Maybe it already has. Maybe it already has. It's a dangerous place to say it's okay to lie. And that is a worldly concept, not a godly concept. And I would submit to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that Christ's followers must have a solid, everybody say solid, a solid relationship with the truth. So my second point today, as much as the first point, is just that God desires truth, which I hope you all believe, that God desires truth. It's an important thing. So my second point is that Satan is the father of lies. If you want to track it all the way back, Satan is the father of lies. John 8:44, very familiar scripture, talking about Satan. Jesus says, when he lies, talking about Satan, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. This is Jesus telling us about Satan, that he is the father of lies. I mean, this is a sobering thing. So, when you lie, got to ask yourself, where's it coming from? That makes me uncomfortable. Does it make anybody else uncomfortable? Does it make you uncomfortable that when you lie, you are speaking out of the character of Satan? Well, it's no big deal. Really. And see, when we adopt that philosophy and we get good with the little white lies, they become the bigger lies. They just grow. Because when you say one lie, you got to say another one to cover it and another one to cover it. I mean, look at David with Bathsheba. It just begins. A lie, a lie, a lie. We cover it, we cover it, we cover it. And I want to tell you this. The very beginning, God knows the truth. Look at this. Satan lies to divide, to discredit, and to discourage. That's why Satan lies, and he wants to do the same. And you think about, well, what do you mean? To divide. Lies divide us from God. Remember back to the Garden of Eden. The first thing that Satan does, the serpent comes to Eve and he questions the word of God, and then he outright lies and he contradicts, oh, you surely won't die. In fact, God, you know, God realized you're going to be just like him. Okay. You're going to have this understanding. Satan lies. Eve takes this lie, believes the lie, entertains the lie. And next thing you know, it begins to replicate. Here's the division. He tries to divide us from God. Then they run away from the presence of God. Here's what's very, very scary. And I have seen this happen in church leaders. I've seen this happen to friends of mine who are in the faith and church leaders and pastors. That when you ignore the lie, when you get comfortable with the lie, you begin to get callous with the lies. And when you get callous, you can't hear the voice of God. You refuse. You've become so callous to the voice of God. You've hardened your heart that you can't hear the voice of the prompting of the Holy Spirit calling you, come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Satan wants to divide you from your Father in heaven by lies. He wants to discredit. Discredit is important. I'm going to tell you, because this has happened. I remember the time early in ministry, I was preparing a message, and I had gone through several books, and I'd come across with this one sermon illustration that so illustrated my point. I was like, oh my gosh, this is wonderful, this is great. I was so excited to use it, and then I used this sermon illustration, and it was like, yeah, this is so great. It was talking about a particular gate in Jerusalem, and talking about the wise man going through the, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than a wise man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And there was a sermon illustration that had been used. I'd heard other preachers talk about it that tried to identify a specific gate. And I remember doing some archaeological research and some more studying to realize that gate didn't exist. It was a great sermon illustration, but it wasn't historically accurate. It wasn't biblically accurate. And the Bible means what the Bible means. And sometimes we like to add to and we like to do things. Look, God created science. It's not the other way around. Science didn't create God. Sorry, Nietzsche. So as we move forward, guys, I want us to understand a few things. We get discredited when we lie. When we compromise our witness and our testimony, and we're not careful about the things of the world, and then we think people should believe us about the things of God? Are we called to only be truthful in the things of God? Is that seriously what God created us? Absolutely not. You know that. We know that. So I got to start walking away from that mirror. I got to recognize those mirrors in my house that are dishonest. I need to start really kind of doing an inventory. The things that just validate my own hubris. That validate my own pride. That validate and reaffirm my own presuppositions that maybe aren't necessarily truthful. Because I want the high ground. And the high ground is with God. I hope you do as well. So it wants to discredit us. And why should I believe you about this? Because da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Wants to discourage us. When you believe the lie, has anybody believed a lie that Satan whispered in your ear? You'll never get old. You can never be delivered from this. You can never be healed of this. You can never get over this. You can never forgive. You can never overcome. Oh, you have no worth. Oh, the person who treated you poorly, you had it coming to you and you deserve. You know, all these things that Satan likes to whisper and to lie in our ears. When we believe these lies, it discourages us. And then what's sad is we repeat these lies to ourselves. We talk to people. Oh, I'm no good. I'll never get over this. I'll always be sick. I'm never acceptable. Blah. Blah, 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 blah. God doesn't love me. No one can love me. Gang, those discourage us to a fairly amazing way. Satan wants us to believe those lies about himself, that we have no worth, no purpose, that nothing can change, that you're hopeless, you will never receive love, you cannot be forgiven, you cannot forgive, you cannot overcome. He wants us to believe these lies and then repeat these lies so we will stay in bondage. Gang, third point today, and this is the big one. We must value the truth. And I mean, obviously, it goes without saying, the truth of the gospel, the eternal truth of God, which our society today is setting itself up against to scary levels of how much relative truth is supplanting absolute truth. Proverbs chapter 12, verses 17 through 20, and then dropping down to 22. Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. There is one whose rash words are like a sword, are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but those who plan peace have joy. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are His delight. I hope that we understand that truth is an amazing thing that God gives us to vow, and we have been called ambassadors. We have been called His ambassadors to take the eternal truth of God to a world who needs it. And here's the greatest truth that you should know. The greatest truth that you have been called to take is there is a God and that He loves you and that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for you. And your access into heaven is not about how good you can be. It's not about being mostly good, 51% good, 75% good. That is not what gets us into heaven. What gets us into a relationship with God is when we know that God sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins and that now He offers us through the blood of Jesus Christ a cleansing and we can now be reconciled back to God. We don't come to God by being good. Jesus was perfect for us and now by faith our lives are transformed and we can be born again. That's the truth that we were called to convey. And when we get so lazy with the truth and worldly matters, people won't believe us when we try to bring spiritual truth. It's important in our active citizenship, which I think we are all called to do, to be purveyors of truth. James 3, 10 and 11. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. In other words, one second you're blessing God, the next second you're cursing. We can also infer to this. One moment you're saying truth, the next sentence you're lying. Look, this should not be. Verse 11. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? We must take care, church family, to pursue truth, to keep our integrity, because I'm telling you what, I believe that we are living in the last days, and it is time for us to have a pure witness so that we can declare the truths of God, the eternal truths of God. In this age where facts are so hard to find, man, you have to search for them. You have to search for them. I'm telling you, don't be lazy. Do the work. You can't believe everything you hear just because someone you repeated it or you saw it on the TV or you saw it on the internet. You can't just believe it. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Consider your words and be careful to be only a purveyor of truth. If you're not sure, shut up. How's that? 1 John 4:1-3. Well, Pastor, that was kind of mean. No, I really want to protect us. I'm serious. I am so grieved in my spirit. I am so grieved in my spirit because I fear the church is getting distracted from purveying the good news of the truth of God's love. I think it's a wonderful, effective strategy. When I say wonderful, I mean that it's effective. I don't mean that it's good. I think it's a horrific, evil thing. But I think that Satan has been very effective in slowly compromising the trustworthiness of the church. And it's high time. Some of us all just need to repent and be like David and recognize you desire truth. In the inward part, you desire truth. 1 John 4:1-3, we read it earlier. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus, does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and which is now in the world already. Okay, gang, we have to understand that he goes on to say, little children, you're from God and you have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. For they're from the world, therefore they speak from the world and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. For whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is the love of God, was made manifest amongst us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. Christ followers need to be about the truth. The truth is important. Musicians, you can go ahead and come on up. If we are lazy in seeking the truth, and if we start becoming purveyors of mistruth, our witness will be compromised. Again, this is where very poor doctrine has entered into the church. And if we are not careful to present the things that we present, and if we really don't examine them, And we speak in our speech, in our business interactions, in our practice of our active citizenship, which is so needed right now. If we're not careful that the things that we speak are true, it will invalidate our testimony and we will become ineffective. So what do we do? What do we do? Because if you're like me, you realize, wow, there are some things, there are some times that I've walked by that mirror and I've really believed because it told me what I wanted to hear. And then I was very quick to go out. Here's what, don't double down and don't ignore it. God gives us grace. If we've been in error, well, repent, duh. And then actively pursue the truth. If you're like me and from time to time your zeal to try to do good, that sometimes you've made a misstep, don't ignore it, don't double down on it, throw it into the light. Own it, repent, and strive to do better moving forward. And I'm going to tell you, it's hard for us nowadays. It's hard for us nowadays, but I believe it's more important than ever. Our final scripture today, John 8:31-32. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Lies enchain us, they enslave us, but the truth sets us free. Let's seek after truth, gang. Let's seek hard after truth. Let's seek after honesty, integrity, so that we can be effective witnesses of the King.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.